I have my Bible open to the book of Colossians once more, chapter 4, verse 2, if you would please join me there. But you also have it there on the projection as well. Please give ear to the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. In this most recent portion of Colossians, Paul has taken us through several relationship categories, if you will. And today he moves to the fifth and final category of the relationships that we have, and it is with outsiders, as he refers to them. Let me remind you that we began all of this with our relationship with Christ. Paul encourages us to seek the things that are above, to set our minds on the things that are above, that are of Christ and not of the world. He then moved our relationships within the body of Christ, within the church. And in these relationships, we should be ever constant in our desire for unity, in our desire for peace, and then all of that being bound together by love. Paul then moved us to our relationships within the family, within the nuclear unit of the family, which is so critical to our society. And in that portion of Scripture, very brief, but it has to be said, his main point was submission. And that was submission to each other in our roles and in our capacity, whether wife, husband, parent, child, etc. And then last week, we moved out of those personal, intimate relationships into the workplace. But into the workplace, that could be said into the classroom, anywhere that you find yourself in a productive relationship with others around you. And in verse 23, he says, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, work heartily, earnestly, if you will, as you are working for the Lord and not for men. And in working heartily for the Lord, we are reflecting the very character of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And as I said, today he moves to the outside of those previous relationships and he turns them outsiders. And that would be sort of the caveat to catch anybody else he hadn't spoken of yet. Those we may meet just in the normal ebb and flow of our day. He gives us directions how we should address them and how we should have a relationship with them. But before he does that, before he gets to the outsiders, we have what we can call a parenthetical statement. And Paul does this a lot. He's going down a line of thought, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings something to his mind. He'll kind of take that rabbit trail, and then in a few minutes he'll find himself back. And so that's what we see here in verse 2. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Paul does this, as I said often, and he says to pray. Now, he could have said this in any one of those relationships we've had previously because it applies to every one of them. But here that thought, the Holy Spirit brought that thought to his mind, so he put pen to paper. We are to be people of prayer. In every situation, in every place, in every relationship, we should be people of prayer. He says to continue steadfastly in prayer, continuously, ongoing, persevering. Persevering even when you feel like your prayers, as they say, are hitting the ceiling and that's it. Continue in that perseverance of prayer. He says, continue steadfastly. That is a very strong adjective. Adverb. I looked it up. Adverb. To encourage us in that way that we are to be a people of persevering prayer. Even if that prayer is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Paul is saying, pray. Be people of prayer. He says, be watchful in prayer. Watchful. In the Greek, this basically means to stay awake. How many of you pray at night, going to bed, and click? That's okay. But here he's saying, basically, stay awake, meaning stay awake to your surroundings. Be watchful and be constant in prayer for those things that are brought to mind at that moment in time. I've said this before, I don't practice it as good as I'd like, but when someone says, Tim, pray for me. Okay, let's pray. As I said, I'm trying, but I'm not as good at that as I'd like to be. Many of you remember Dot Dagenhart, a woman of prayer, constantly. You could be talking with her. She was a special friend of this church and a missionary in Pakistan for a long, long time. But if you were talking to Dot, she would just start praying right there. One day we walked into the house and there was a message on the machine, and I punched it, and it was Dot leaving us a message, and she began praying right in the message. She was watchful in what she was telling us and talking to us about. The Lord brought it to her mind, and she began praying. That's what Paul is teaching here. Be people of prayer, be steadfast, and be watchful. And if someone comes to you and says, would you pray for me? Maybe start the practice. Wrap your arm around their shoulder and right there. And then Paul says that we are to be people of thanksgiving. This is a hallmark of the Christian faith. We should be exuding a thankfulness all the time. Even in those times when we are going through the strife and the struggles, and when we feel like our prayer life is as dry as the dirt, but God is listening. Ever listening. That's enough to be thankful for, that he gives ear to your prayers always. It may not seem like it from our end, and the prayers, the answers to those prayers may not come as we desire. And I'm thankful for that, because what are my desires according to his wisdom? So we are to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful and thanksgiving. And then Paul does something here he doesn't do very often, occasionally, but he brings a personal note, a personal item into this idea of prayer. His companions and himself, they are in prison, and they are there because of his preaching. And the church in Colossae is hearing from this, but he's in Rome in prison. And he says, pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Please note, he did not ask to be freed from that prison. He sees that as part of his call. He sees that as an evidence of him fulfilling his call. And so he's sitting in prison, and while he's in prison, he says, Lord, open a door. A very unique term given that he's in prison. Open a door for me, meaning give me the opportunity to preach while I'm sitting here in prison. He's not asking for freedom, but he's asking to be encouraged. He's asking to be strengthened, and he's asking for him to be strengthened in the call that Jesus has given him. I would be surprised if Andrew Brunson has not used this verse in his time in prison. And see, in our calls of ministry, wherever you find yourself, don't pray for a simpler time. Don't pray for an easier way. Pray for that call to be fulfilled. Pray that you would be encouraged. Pray that you would be strengthened in whatever ministry, whatever call God has given you. Because see, easier is not always better. And those struggles and trials through the ministry, that's what grows and deepens the faith. And so Paul is saying, please pray for us. Please pray for us. This should be a general item of prayer within any congregation, this praying that the door would be open for the preached word. And Paul prays that there would be clarity. One of the great challenges of preaching is clarity. I've been in this text all week. Actually, I've been in this text over a month. And so the words and the context and the ideas Paul's expressing, they're just rolling around in my head all the time. Unless you have read this previously to coming in here this morning, this is the first time You're seeing it, hearing it. And so my task, the Holy Spirit's task, is to put this in a framework, in a structure that makes sense, that you can understand. And so the great challenge is to put this in a place that can be understood. As Bob Hovey used to say, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Well, sometimes a second or third shelf ain't bad, because we need to grow, but it needs to be, and I don't mean to lower it, but it needs to be where the masses can hear and understand. And Paul is saying, pray for clarity, which is how I ought to speak. Which is how I ought to speak. Now, leaving that parenthetical statement, leaving that little side thought that he had, as important as it is, we now go back to the relationship of outsiders. Verses 5 and 6. And with outsiders, he says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer the person. When we live our lives out in the world, out in with these outsiders, what do people see? When they see you conduct your life, when they see me conduct my life, what do they see? Do they see an ethical Christian person? Do they see someone who is different than others? I remember in seminary standing there in a bookstore, and they sold those little fish that you put on your car or bumper or whatever. And one of the seminary students said, I don't want that on my car. I don't want them to know. I thought, bud, you're in the wrong place. I don't know where that young man is now. But again, when they see us in the world, what do they see? Because I may be the only Jesus they see. And if you identify yourself as a Christian by word or by deed, but then act contrary to that, then this person that's watching you that's not a believer, what do they see? Well, if you're a Christian, I don't want to be. Or, I would like to have what you have. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, meaning conduct your life according to the ways of Christ, according to the ways of teaching. Be wise in the words you use. Be wise and skillful in the conversations you have. Be wise and skillful in the conversations you listen to. Let them see that you're indeed that peculiar person that Peter speaks of. Let them see that you have the wisdom of Christ, because we are called to be that reflection. As we said in Sunday school last week, the image of God in our communities, the image of God, portraying God in our communities, is you. Wherever you are, the church is. Wherever you are, the body of Christ is. And that's a reflection in the image of God. I pray it's a good image for all of us. And Paul says, as we walk in wisdom, we are to look for an opportunity. He says, walk in wisdom toward the outsiders, making the best use of the time. Meaning, back to the prayer, be watchful and find that opportunity and listen for that opportunity to interject Jesus Christ. He writes, make the best use of the time, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Again, Paul is saying, live your life differently. And living a life differently would cause someone to ask, cause someone to say, why are you different? When so-and-so told that joke in the canteen just now in the lunchroom, why didn't you get up and leave? Why do I see you here punctually at 8 o'clock and you don't leave for lunch until 12, and at 4 o'clock you go home? We can press that. No. And see, those opportunities, when those questions and those comments come, there's the time. Well, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I try my best to represent him well. But looking, listening for that opportunity so you know how you ought to speak, and being gracious and have that conversation seasoned with salt, meaning that it has to be packaged carefully. Not pushy, not a lot of great big theological Christian talk, just let me tell you about Jesus. And if they go, well, I don't want to hear about it. Okay. You mind if I pray for you? Okay, that'll be fine. Okay. And see, that should be the item of prayer as well. That opportunity to come, Lord, bring me to the place where I have that opportunity. Prayer is the first step in sharing the gospel, which is the title of the sermon. And before you talk to a person about Jesus, we should talk to Jesus about the person. Meaning praying for that conversation. Praying for that opportunity. Lord, I'm out and about all day. Show me where I can step in. And give me ears to hear that opening. In his book, Concentric Circles of Concern, Oscar Thompson, back in 81, writes about teaching his students to make a list of the people in what he has called the concentric circles of concern. And in that center circle is yourself. And in that center circle yourself, you, I, have to be right with God. And then as that circle broadens out, your immediate family is next in line, then your relatives, your close friends, your workmate, your classmates, your business associates, and then finally there's that person X, as he calls it. That's that person you have no clue who it is. You do not know that person, but you're saying, Lord, bring me to that person. But you're praying for that concentric circle outward, that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with those in those circles. And quite frankly, folks, it's easier to share the gospel with that broader circle than it is with that inner circle. Many of you have been there. But that should be the item of prayer. And he goes on to write about listing the person's needs. Those you know, just make a list. So these are prayer items. And begin praying for them. And pray that God would engineer, bring about that time when you could share the gospel. Sharing the gospel, being watchful, prayerful, is something that every person in this room, if you're a believer, that's your call. You may have others, but that's your call, to be that witness. Speaking of being the witness, there's one more point that Paul makes here that I do not want us to leave unsaid. Paul has given us two ways here to share the gospel. Two very dramatically different ways, but two ways to share the gospel. First of all, he says, pray for an opportunity that would be given for him to declare the message. That's the first way to share the gospel, to declare the message. That's preaching. Paul is asking for an opportunity to preach the gospel to some gathering of people. He says, pray for that opportunity. And declaring, preaching the gospel is vital. Vital to kingdom building. Vital to the Christian faith. Vital to bringing individuals into the kingdom. Philip Ryken writes, the reason the church tries so many other things besides preaching Christ is because it suspects the kingdom can be established some other way. But there is no other way, Mr. Ryken writes. People will not come into the kingdom because they like the minister. They will not come into the kingdom because they support children's ministry. They will not come into the kingdom because the church has fantastic music. They may come into the church that way, but they cannot come into the kingdom that way. The only way people will come into the kingdom of God is by hearing the preached word. And so Paul rightly prays, give us an opportunity to preach. But please know, this is a very small group, a minority of individuals who are called to preach. The second way that Paul mentions here of sharing the message is to be prepared to respond. Not declare, but respond. To respond means to have an answer, as he says here. Have an answer ready. Have your thoughts ready. That when someone asks, I got it. I've encouraged people to have three versions of their testimony. Three versions. The elevator version, as I call it. You're on an elevator, you go up three or four floors. How long are you on that elevator? 2 or 3 minutes at max. All right? You should have a 2 or 3 minute version of this is why I believe in Jesus. Then I call the coffee pot version. You're standing, or the water cooler version. You're standing around the coffee pot. You got 10 minutes before work starts and you're enjoying coffee. You got a 10 minute version. And then you got the long one. When you've made it to the point where you've invited someone to a coffee or can I sit and talk with you a while, and you got the full story. We should have those in our minds, in those packages, some form or fashion. Because when those opportunities come, I need to be speaking. Not pushing, not overtly. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Can I answer it by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, and so I do X. I'd like to tell you more about it. Well, okay, I'd like to talk to you about it. Okay, great. Now, these two ways of sharing, preaching, which is my job, and responding is all our jobs. Now, I know many of us are very hesitant to share the gospel. I've heard it. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. And then I'll turn them away. Well, I don't quite know what to say. I'll just tell them to call Pastor Tim. That's okay. But notice what Paul is saying. He's asking you, he's teaching us, the Holy Spirit is teaching us to just respond. Not have that overt package that you would stand on the street corner and no. If someone sees you and sees how you're acting and all this and say, Julie, I saw you do so-and-so. What's going on with you? Well, let me tell you. No pressure. You're just answering a question. See, that should take incredible pressure off of all of us. Just answer the question. It's not putting together a sermon. Just answer the question. And Paul says it should be seasoned with salt, meaning it should be improved, it should be good, so that you may know how you ought to answer. Again, we should have the thoughts in our head. We should have an answer. Not in Pastor Tim's words. Yours. Yours. Sharing the gospel. First of all, it begins with prayer. Steadfastly, watching, praying. Praying for the preacher. Please, thank you so much for those who do. I know many of you do, and I thank you. Thank you very much. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The kingdom of God is built through preaching. Secondly, pray for your opportunity. Peter writes in 1 Peter, in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense. Again, prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Very similar to what Paul writes here in Colossians. Paul writes here in Colossians, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. Preaching is my job. Responding to questions about the gospel is everyone's job. Call. Let's pray together. Father, Paul here teaches of prayer, and so we come praying for the preachers. As I prayed earlier, I pray that truth would be delivered from whatever pulpit they may be standing behind. And I pray that truth finds good soil that the Holy Spirit has prepared and fruit would grow. I pray for us all, Lord, that we would be ready, that we would know how we ought to answer a person when they ask. Make us such, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.